119. I'll tell you about Psalm 119. It's such a blessing to read. One of the ladies in our church said, "Preacher, I took a pen and marked every I in Psalm 119. I believe there's 176 verses in it? Or 175? What is it? Well, I got a King James at 176. But anyway. But I said, why don't you go back and mark every place it talks about the Word of God in it? And practically every one of the 176 verses has something to do with statute, which is the Bible, the Word of God, law, and word, and what? Testimony. That all talk about the Word of God. So I'm excited about it. I really am. It's a wonderful psalm. And it almost seems like old Satan just laughs at us because we don't want to tackle 119. But it's so much. So much in it. Well, last week we talked about the middle psalm, and it had the middle verse, and it's the smallest of all in the Bible, and of all chapters in the Bible. And of course, being a psalm, we know that's a song. It's not a chapter. But while we do that, I think the Lord will forgive me for saying that. All right. Let's stand this tonight, 118. I'm glad you're here tonight. It's been a busy day, running like a chicken head cut off, amen, trying to get people, seeing people, hospital visits, and a whole bunch of other things done. And I know you're busy. I know you work very hard. And I thank you for stopping for a moment and coming to church and honoring your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for being here. Jesus Christ loved this church so much that he died for it. God Almighty loved the church so much that he gave his son for it. And he bought it with a price. The Bible said that Jesus did. So I suspect it'd be a pretty important thing to come to, don't you think? Amen. And I thank you for being here tonight. Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. They say when the Anglo-Saxons were trying, this is before the English, they were trying to figure out a word in the English when they were trying to translate and trying to preach the Word of God. They were trying to find a word for God. They weren't sure how they could put it. And finally, someone came up with the word good. Good. And later in life, they took out one of the O's and called it God. But they called him good. G, capital G, capital O-D. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. I call upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desires upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They can pass me about, yea, they can pass me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They can pass me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me, that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Open to me the gates of righteousness, and I will go into them, and I will praise the Lord. The gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me, and become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You ought to circle that. That's a good way to start every day. Amen. This is the day which the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech thee. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, which has showed us life. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Father, I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. I know, Lord Jesus, that it's warm in here, and I pray you just make this time a special time as we come together. Help us to keep our minds stayed on you tonight, and may we see what the Scripture has for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 118 sets before us a journey home. And we're going to consider it a journey that's perspective. It is not just our journey home or Israel's journey home, but it's our Lord's journey home. It takes us by way of Calvary to be laid beyond the sky, to the land beyond the skies. First of all, I want you to see a commencement of the journey at the beginning here. The journey and commencement with praise to God, his amazing goodness and his grace and more. The worshiper theme is this in verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endures forever. What a blessing to find something that endures forever. In today's society, everything pretty much is throwaway. You know, your razors, you know, I remember my granddad had this deal, and you'd stick that straight razor, single bladed razor in this thing, and you'd whirl it, whirl it, whirl it, whirl it. Man, that thing's sharp in that thing. And that old razor, that was a good razor he had. And I tried it one time, cut my finger. I didn't like it after that. But anyway, Granddad was a lot more careful than a 7-year-old. Amen. Boy, he'd get that thing out and crank it, and then he'd turn it over, and it's just the right pitch, you know, angle. You'd spin that thing, boy, that the razor, man, he just peel his hide clean, amen, of hair, amen. So we live in a society of disposable, you know, disposable soft drink, disposable bottles and flashlights and cameras and all kinds of things. And our garbage heaps are full of things that are, you know, they're quote-unquote recyclable, but they're never used again for the same reason. Nothing down here lasts forever, amen? Boy, you can have something, you can take real good care of something, but after a while, it'll wear out on you, amen? And nothing lasts forever, but we give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. That's the theme. Imagine the Lord Jesus Christ singing that as he faced the terrible torment at Calvary. He was about to face the undiluted wrath of the thrice holy sin-hating God. But he went on. Amen. He endured. Secondly, look at the worshiping throng. Verses 2 through 4. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say mercy endureth forever. Let them that fear the Lord say his mercy endureth forever. Here we see public praise. We see in Israel, we see the priestly praise, the Aaron's praise, the personal praise, that they feared the Lord. Do you fear the Lord? I mean, do you really fear the Lord? I tell you what, it is an amazing thing. It's a terrible thing to find yourself with an angry God, amen. And God tells us there are certain things we need to do. And if we don't do those things, we will face the wrath of God. Nah, people say, well, I'm a Christian now, and I have liberty, and I have grace, and I can do what I want. I'm a free-thinking, free-willed person, and I can do anything I want, and God will forgive me. Are you kidding me? Read your Bible. For whatsoever man sow, he reaps. God said we're to live holy in an unholy word, in a holy world. We're going to live unspotted to this world. Proverbs 3:5, trust the Lord with all thine heart, lead not unto thine own understanding, and all thy way acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, and depart from evil. God tells us to stay away from bad stuff. God, all through Proverbs, all through Proverbs, Solomon is writing to his son. He says, stay away from them wicked women. They will entice you. They will keep you. They will draw you down. They will take you to the pit of hell. That's what the Bible says. And throughout the Scriptures, God tells us that we ought to live for him. Amen. Praising the Lord is not always the spontaneous expression of a redeemed heart. That is the predetermination factor of the future. Now, all will own him as a Savior, but all will own him as a sovereign and give him glory and honor. Whether he is their father or not, they will someday. The Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is God. And I don't care how terrible and filthy and rotten a person is, I'll guarantee you, one of these days they're going to say, yep, he's God. Remember the scriptures in Revelation where they cried down the rocks, you know, fall upon them. Here's a God that loves them. The best kind of praise is not that of Israel, which derives the national position, and they said, well, we praise God because he loves us. That was not it. Nor the house of Aaron that chanted in response to religious professional. But the breastplate wells up in the heart of all individuals who come to appreciate the Lord. I've been, as I told you Sunday, I've been reading the book of John Bunyan's book, Pilgrim's Progress. How many started already? How many started? Boy, I wasted my time talking. Did you start? God bless you, man. I tell you, that's good, amen. And this morning, early this morning, I was reading it. I started crying. I started weeping. I thought, this man named Christian who got saved, and how that Satan was trying everything he can to bombard him and just take him down the wrong path and get him to go back to the city of destruction where he came from. And as I read it, I saw these scriptures that, boy, it just reminded me a lot about my own past and a lot about my own life, how that Satan has tried to come in so many times to discourage me and try to get me to go against the principles of the Word of God and to turn back. No, no, I said this morning, no, I won't turn back. And I almost woke up my wife. And I'm going to turn back. I don't want to turn back. I'll tell you what, there's a lot of times you think about it, though. Don't you? Don't you? A lot of times you think about it. So what's this worth? And then Christian said this, and very interesting. He said, of all the things I've gone through, why would I want to turn back? I've already got this far. Just keep going, amen. Well, let's look at the character of his journey, verses 5 through 18. The way home for the Lord Jesus Christ was a long way. And this long way is beset by difficulties and dangers. Jesus Christ, when he was a babe, Herod tried to kill him. And they had to go all the way down into Egypt. And he came back to Nazareth. And then at 12 years old, he comes and his parents don't even understand him. He said, I'm about my father's business. but he was willing to come under the authority of his parents. Listen now, that's very important. You want to be like Jesus, you'll come under the authority of your parents. Even though they don't understand you, even though they don't appreciate some of the things you do for Jesus, you're still under their tutelage. Amen. It's your responsibility of a child to honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with thee. A good translation may be well with thee is when you get your kids, it'll be okay. Well, Jesus also, when he came and was baptized of John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer, what did he do? He went into the wilderness and 40 days. He fasted in the wilderness, and beasts, the Bible says, and all things came to him. It wasn't an easy task for the Lord Jesus Christ to head the way home. Difficulties and dangers, not a flower or a palm-strewed path. There were four major stopping places and dreadful road for the Lord at that mirror, that Gethsemane and Gabbatha and Golgotha and glory. First, we find ourselves at Gethsemane. The prayer that was answered. Look at here. I call upon the Lord, verse 5, in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large space. Five times in the Bible talks about, uses the Lord. The word here means Jah, J-A-H. We get Jehovah from that. In some ways, the greatest of all the names of God. It expresses the concentrated form, the eternal existence of the great I Am. The ever-present one, this title gives us 49 times in the Bible. There's no way we can measure the distress that overtook the Lord in Gethsemane. Certainly the agony, his experience would have killed an ordinary man. The intensity of his agony, the great drops of perspiration pouring out that looked like blood. Yet Satan did not succeed. Turning the Lord Jesus aside from his ultimate goal, he was delivered. For that is the force of the expression, he set me in a large place. How large that place is, we shall never know until we stand the last days with the Lord Jesus Christ in the vast shores of eternity. Look over the unborn ages, over the breathtaking wonders of God's new creation. Secondly, the peace that was assured. The Lord is on my side. Now, and he's better now. Jesus speaks. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Men thought that they could arrest him, and they did. Men thought that they could try him, and they did. Men thought that they could crucify him, and they did. Led by Judas and the mob, came into that garden. Jesus met them. Possessed of a peace that passed all understanding. Just think of that. You know these people are coming at you. I don't know about you, but man, I'd have every gun I have. I'd have them loaded. I mean, they'd be locked and loaded. I'm telling you what, I would not. I don't think I'd take it easy. Would you? No. But he, with that peace that passed all understanding, he knew what was coming to him. He knew everything. He knew it from the foundation of this world. His soul was filled with quiet confidence. He had, what did he do? He already knew he won the victory. He could say, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up. This commandment have I received of my Father, John 10:18. When Pilate threatened him with the cross, he replied, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except I'd given thee, it was given thee from above, John 19:11. He had no fear of what man could do to him. Then also look at the person that was alongside. The Lord taketh my path with them that help me. Therefore, I see my desires upon them that hate me. Most scholars say this is a very awkward portion of scriptures. Jehovah is my helper, Rotherham said. So shall I gaze on them that hate me. Jesus had someone alongside. And by the way, when the troubles come and the heartaches come in your life, you've got one to come alongside. You may not experience that yet, but I promise you, He is one that will come alongside. He will be there for you. Let us stand with Him a little longer in Gethsemane. Who seek ye? We hear Him say to the mob. And they say back to Him, Jesus of Nazareth. And He says, I am. That was His simple reply. And what did they do? They fell on their backs. That happened three times. At any time, He could have simply have walked away. You remember the time they were going to stone Him? And He just disappeared in their sight. But Jesus Christ knew what He was doing and where He was going and where He was headed. Amen. And He had that peace that passed all understanding. I thank God that He did that. If it didn't, you wouldn't be here tonight. You would not be saved. You would not have a home in heaven. But He chose to go to Calvary. The way of the cross leads home. That was the path marked out in eternity before the world began. Before He stooped down to fashion Adam's clay. Before the serpent raised his ugly head in Eden. Before one man's sin entered into the world and death by sin. So then, Gethsemane was the first stopping place in His journey home. And we come now to the second stop where we find ourselves in Gabbatha. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than put confidence in princes. Take Simon Peter, for instance. Suppose the Lord had put confidence in him. Scripture talks about that smoking flask and the flax and that broken reed. The Lord would have not quenched the smoking flask nor break or bruise the reed, but neither would He put confidence in him. He knew Peter better than Peter knew himself. And Jesus Christ knows me better than I know myself. And we can brag and we can talk all we want, but I'll tell you, He knows. And boy, the things that we think that we're really going to do miserably fail us. I told you Sunday, as I started my sermon on Sunday morning, I said that Warren Wiersbe said, if you look to man, if you look at man, you'll get discouraged. If you look at yourself, you get disgusted. That's why we look at things through Jesus Christ, who will help us. You can't say that you're here tonight because of who you are. You say you're here tonight because of who He is. It's He that makes us and gives us opportunities. Look at Herod. And Pilate, suppose the Lord had put confidence in them. Nobody could trust Herod Antipas, the treacherous son of Herod the Great, massacred the male children in Bethlehem. Herod Antipas had stolen his own brother's wife, and he murdered John the Baptist and to pacify his brother's wife. The Lord was certainly not going to put the confidence in him, nor in Pilate. Pilate and Dolly wished him well. He did. I find no fault in him. He said it three times. He was more concerned about being Caesar's friend than to doing what was right. And you're going to meet a lot of those people out there today. I just want to make sure I get elected again. I don't care if I do it right or not. I just want to make sure I look good to people. You're not looking good to people right now, thank you. Sorry, I couldn't help saying that. Next comes the most dreadful stopping place of all. We find Golgotha. There we see foes massed against Him. The Lord is unimpressed by all the nationalities are there. The numbers did not impress Him or their nature. All nations compass about me, but the name of the Lord will I destroy them, cut them off. They compass about, yea, they compass me about, but the name of the Lord will I destroy them. They compass me about like bees. I don't know about you, but I'm not one for bees. When I was a little boy, we were out picking huckleberries back in the swamps of Michigan, down by our place, and we were picking huckleberries, and Grandma was there, and my grandpa, he was in his, maybe 78. He looked like Grandpa McCoy, and he walked like Grandpa McCoy. He's always like this. You just see him coming. I asked my dad, I said, how come Grandpa lifts? Well, he said, one day he had his leg hooked into a bridge, and northern pike were come by, and he stole a spear at him. And he slipped and got his leg caught in the deal. That's how Grandpa. Well, hey, he was having fun doing it. But anyway, we're out picking huckleberries. It's a hot day like today. Man, it's hot. And all of a sudden, I heard my grandpa go, whoo, whoo, and he was bald-headed, and his head just shined. I mean, it looked like something on his head. I mean, it was just bald. It was beautiful. I mean, it was beautiful. I told my mama, I said, I want a haircut like that. I got one almost like that. And he come out of that old slough just like, whoo, whoo, whoo. Man, he's 78 years old, but man, he's making tracks. And you can see this black cloud coming at him. He'd stepped on what they call the ball-headed hornet nest. Ball-headed hornets are about that big, and when they sting you, it's like getting hit by a .357. Buddy, I'm telling you, pow! And they were coming at old Grandpa. I still remember that. There's nothing like a bunch of bees coming at you. They're coming. You can't get away from them. The fire, furious nature of the bees. Angry swarm of bees can be formidable. Almost impossible to fight. Those come from all directions and inject their venom like 1,000 red hot nails. That's how the Lord foe appeared to him. But a bee can sting only once. And once it's been attacked, it dies. Its power is forever gone. Thus our Lord intended to destroy Satan. You can do it once, but you ain't going to do it again. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad the battle's won? Amen. The fire of the thorns suggests a fierce nature of the foe. The fire of the thorns, although it's blazed up and burned fiercely, also soon dies out quickly. It has no lasting substance, which will produce new heat. One swift blaze, and it's over. That is how the Lord's foes appeared to him. Calvary was fierce and furious, but it was soon over. And then Jesus' foes would be powerless. You can't do it again. I'm risen. Hey, what did they do to Jesus that rose from the grave? Nothing. Nothing. They did nothing. Look at the hidden foes. Verse 13. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Commentators do not know what to do with this verse either. Who is the thou? And whom does he speak? He is not only a name, but it is invisible. That unseen, hidden, visible foe must surely be who? Satan. You don't see Satan. But I'll tell you, you do sure see a lot of his works, don't you? We know that Satan and his host were at the cross because the Lord Jesus triumphed over them. Paul says that Christ triumphed over principalities and power, making a show to them of His cross. Satan was there having his final moment and seeing triumph. Thou hast thrust me sore. The Hebrew of the passage is more graphic. It says, thrusting thou hast thrust me through. That final parting thrust was the victory of the host of hell that He made. Was it victory for Him? No. It was not victory. Like the Japanese when they struck a blow at the United States, and the emperor says, "We woke the giant. We woke the giant." We have been to Gethsemane, Golgotha, but now here's the last stopping, that's glory. The suffering phase and the journey's over. The Lord can now rejoice. We see Him rejoicing in His people. The Lord is my strength and my song, and is my salvation. The voice of rejoicing, the salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. Primary reference here is seen by the tents of the pilgrims pitched outside Jerusalem. The joyous feast of the tabernacle. The ultimate reference of the coming Jesus who will come again in the kingdom for Israel. The intermediate reference of the Lord now in heaven rejoicing with His redeemed people over great salvation have wrought. But it's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. The resurrection power. I shall not die but live, He said, verse 17 and 18. The works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but He hath not given me over unto death. Calvary with His sorrows and sufferings is now behind. Man, I'm glad about that. I'm so glad about that. Then the climax of His journey. The world is still in the grips of the evil one. The nations of Israel are still in sin, living in unbelief. The closing verse of this psalm anticipates the coming climax of the age when those things, too, will be set aright and the scene moves close to Armageddon and finally the commencement of the millennial reign. The Lord Jesus at the portal of the temple. And He says, come on. Come on with me. Boy, I'll tell you what. Tremendous song. And I hope you read it over a couple times and just get a taste of it and see what God gives you. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for the Word of God. We thank You for the privilege it is to serve You. Thank You, Lord Jesus, for a God who knew what He was doing without question. A God who had planned all this and it come to volition. And all the things we've seen from the beginning of this earth until right now are all on schedule. Lord, all the prophecies of You coming are fulfilled. And the prophecies of Your second coming are fulfilled. You could come any moment at any time. As John said in Revelation, Lord, come quickly. We love You, Lord Jesus. We thank You for the presence of the power of God upon our lives. May we live for You. Jesus, I pray today if there be anyone here who's not sure they're saved, oh God, that they would not miss that day of judgment. They would not miss that day that You come back. Lord, that they would already be in the presence of the Lord. God, I pray today that they close their eyes and open their heart and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me my sins and come on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen.